A glorious new era is about to dawn. The Lord will rule the earth. And what an incredible vision of hope for a new day. And as we're about to see, Satan, the accuser, will pay for the agony he has wrought.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. Today on Life Talk, we are starting a new message we're calling Satan's Ultimate Doom. This is the 15th chapter on the series called The End, Revelation Unfolds. To tell us more about the message, here's Pastor Jeff.
As we approach the final chapters of John's amazing book of Revelation, we come to a part I personally enjoy. That is, the doom of Satan. John reveals that the day is coming when Satan will be seized by a mighty angel and cast into the abyss. Yes, Satan's days are numbered. I know you'll want to hear this stirring account of Satan's demise, so grab your Bible and follow along as I share the message, Satan's Ultimate Doom. Now, first of all, we're on page 139 in the book, just so you'll know. Page 139 in the book, if you got your book with you. And we're going to be in Revelation 19, starting at verse 17 in the Bible. And we're going to talk about the war of all wars tonight. Now, last time we closed with the literal, personal, visible, physical, and spiritual return of the same Jesus who ascended up into heaven in Acts 1:11. How many of you know he's coming back?
Amen.
I mean, literally, coming back. It's the event that John describes at the beginning in Revelation 1, verse 7, when we started this series. And he says, "Look, he comes with the clouds of heaven. And everyone will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the nations of the world will mourn for him." Yes, and amen. Now, I said something last time, and I want to clarify, because I did something for affect, and it really worked, because it affected a few people. I said concerning the rapture, whether it was going to be at the beginning of the tribulation period or at the end of the tribulation period. And I shared with you both views. And please keep in mind, there are good people on both sides of the spectrum who believe that either Jesus is going to come back before the tribulation, according to 1 Thessalonians 4, or that he's going to come back at the end and the church is going to be raptured up as he simultaneously comes down. I can name good churches, even in this area, that you would recognize whose pastors teach that. Now, I gave you both views, and then I said, but let me tell you my view. And here's what I said. I don't care. And there were a few people who almost had a heart attack. They had to walk some of them out and give them a fan. Pastor Jeff, what does he mean he doesn't care? And I was going for affect, admittedly. I was going for drama because I wanted your attention, and I got it. When I said, I think it matters more to the Lord how you live before he comes than when he comes. Now, here's where I stand. I've always stood on pre-tribulation rapture. That's what I was raised in. But since it's controversial, since there are good people who are on both sides of the spectrum, and it's not as settled a fact as, say, the atonement, the one-wayness of Jesus, the Bible being the Word of God, the eternal judgment that is to come, Jesus died on the cross for every man, that's beyond dispute. If I ever stand up and say about that, I don't care, you need to hit the door. But since it's not settled, good people stand on both sides, I wanted to just kind of come in and say, folks, what really matters is how you live. Because if he comes back before the tribulation, we're all going up. If he comes at the end, we're going up. But what he's going to say to us is, what did you do with what I gave you? How did you live? Did you glorify me? Did you do my will? So that we can hear over our own lives, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So that's what I meant when I said, I don't care. Of course, I care about the return of the Lord. I can tell you this beyond dispute. Jesus is coming back. And then also, beyond dispute, the church is going to be caught up. Now, at the beginning, at the end, at the middle, whenever, the church is going to be caught up, clearly, according to the Word of God. So I've always stood on the side of the pre-tribulation rapture, but I also want to be ready if we're wrong about that. And am I willing to say no to a mark? Am I willing to suffer for him? Am I willing to take a stand for him? Am I willing to go through hell refusing to give in to the world? And I want to be able to say yes. Everybody say with me, he's coming back. Now I hear what you're thinking. Jeff, I just wish that you would stand on one way or the other. Well, I do. I do. I've always believed in the pre-tribulation rapture, but I don't want a church utterly unprepared to go through suffering should that be the case either. So I'm going to leave it there. Everybody love me anyway, right? Because I guarantee you he's coming back. He's coming back, and I believe that we are so near the return of the Lord that it's almost scary just reading the headlines every day. Now, so everybody say with me, you do care. If you were in my shoes, I'll tell you, you can say one little thing, and it really has an impact. So I've learned. Just know that I'm fully in the faith, and I know Jesus is coming back, and I know we're going up, and when we do, we're going to be changed. Amen? All right. John's attention now turns from the vision of the mighty King of Kings, followed by his heavenly armies, the dressed in white armies of heaven, to an angel standing in the midst of the burning sun. Wow, I love these metaphors, these pictures that he draws. And he summons the birds of prey, the scavengers and the vultures from all over the world to gather for the supper of the great God. Now, this is kind of gross, but we're going to read it, Revelation 19:17. John says, then I saw an angel standing in the sun, shouting to the vultures flying high in the sky, come, gather together for the great banquet God has prepared. Verse 18, come and eat the flesh of kings, generals, and strong warriors, of horses and their riders, and of all humanity, both free and slave, small and great. Now, you got to notice, what are they eating? They're eating the bodies remaining from the slaughter of the armies of the world following the horrific Battle of Armageddon. This is gross stuff, folks. This is sort of Hollywood stuff, but it's real. It gives us a sobering glimpse into the terrible punishment from the hand of God on this final generation. The kings of the East and combined forces of the West, of the Antichrist, have gathered in the Valley of Megiddo for war. Now, I've stood at the Valley of Megiddo, and it's just this beautiful, lush valley. It's just a gorgeous thing to behold. But Napoleon stood there, and Napoleon said the kings of the world could fight here. And he didn't know he was being prophetic. Because in that Valley of Megiddo, there in the Middle East, the kings of the world will gather for the greatest war the world has ever seen. Now, you'll remember those four angels who were bound to the Euphrates River in Revelations 9, 13 to 16. And those angels now, time has come. Verse 13, then the sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a voice speaking from the four horns of the golden altar that stands in the presence of God. And the voice said to the sixth angel who held the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great Euphrates River. Then the four angels who had been prepared for this hour and day and month and year were turned loose to kill one-third of all the people on earth. How many? Is that staggering or what? One-third of the people of the earth. And I heard the size of their army. And look what the size of this army. 200 million mounted troops. Now that's an army. And this massive army of 200 million men out of the east, along with the combined Western forces of Antichrist, will be on the verge of annihilating the human race. And Jesus talked about this. He said in Matthew 24:21, "For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened." Now, how will those days be cut short? By the appearance of Jesus Christ to the world. But watch this now. This blows my mind. In a mocking display of sin-crazed lunacy, the Antichrist and his forces and the kings of the east and their forces will join together, read the next part with me, to fight the returning Messiah. Everybody say crazy, baby. Can you imagine this? Jesus is coming back. He's in the clouds. He's in the sky. And catch this. They say, "Here he comes. Let's fight the Messiah." This is insane. Revelation 19:19. "Then I saw the beast and the kings of the world and their armies gathered together to fight against the one sitting on the horse and his army." Now, this tells me that by the time Jesus returns, people are totally insane. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm fighting in an army and I'm fighting people on earth and suddenly I see somebody coming in the clouds of heaven, a savior, that I say to those that I've been fighting, "Let's come together to fight him," I have lost my mind. But that's what they do. King David prophesied of this stunning act of arrogance in Psalms 2:1-5. He says, "Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us break their bands in pieces and cast away their cords from us.'" And what does it say Jesus will do and God will do? "He who sits in the heavens shall laugh," and he should. "The Lord will hold them in derision. He shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure." So, man, by the time we're at the end of time, people are crazy. They are sin insane. They are off balance. They are disconnected from reality. And the returning Lord, he quickly deals with them. Look what happens. "And the beast was captured." That's the Antichrist. Boy, I'm going to love that moment. What about you? Amen. "And with him, the false prophet, who did mighty miracles on behalf of the beast, miracles that deceived all who had accepted the mark of the beast and who worshiped his statue. Both the beast and his false prophet," read the next part with me, "were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur." Now, watch this. They are the first two to really go into the burning hell we've always heard about. The lake of fire is there somewhere now in God's universe, but nobody's in it. Nothing's in it. There is nothing in the lake of fire. But the Antichrist and the false prophet will be the first two to be thrown into that terrible, terrible place. And it fulfills 2 Thessalonians 2:8. "Then the man of lawlessness will be revealed, but the Lord Jesus will kill him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him by the splendor of his coming." Amen. Wow. "Now the Lord Jesus, no longer the gentle lamb, now appearing as the Lion of Judah, quickly disposes of the rest of the massive end time army." Look what John says, 19:21. "Their entire army, 200 million, was killed by the sharp sword that came from the mouth of the one riding the white horse." That's Jesus, and I believe the sharp sword is his word. "He slays them by his word, and the vultures all gorge themselves on the dead bodies." Everybody say with me, gross. This is gross. I don't want to see this. I don't think we're going to have to look at it. It's here that the final chapter of mankind's bloody history is coming to a total close. A glorious new era is about to dawn. Everybody ready for that glorious new era? The Lord will rule the earth. And what an incredible vision of hope for a new day. And as we're about to see, Satan, the accuser, deceiver, and the arch foe of God and man will pay for the agony he has wrought. Now, I do want to see that. I do want to see the devil receive the vengeance of God. Hi, everybody. This is Jeff Wickwire. I wanted to let you know that to make our study even more effective through the book of Revelation, we're offering a book that I've written that contains the very words you're hearing on the radio, along with helpful illustrations and all the Bible verses I'm quoting. You'll literally be able to sit down with your book and follow along word for word. The book is called The End, and for a special price of just $10, we'll get it right to you. Just go to our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. And once at the website, scroll down to Resource, click on the book, The End, and enter the discount code BOOK2018. That discount code is BOOK2018. I know this resource is going to add to your enjoyment and understanding as we travel together through the incredible book of Revelation. Now, back to the message. Now we're starting chapter 14, Satan's ultimate doom and the final judgment of men. Now when Christ returns, he's not going to stop the great war, but he's going to judge the nations. Folks, judgment is coming. There's going to be a judgment of the world. Man is going to be accountable for the way he's acted, what he's done with his life, what he's done with what God gave him, what he's done towards Christ or not. There's going to be a judgment. And Jesus told us in Matthew 25 all about the fact that when he comes to stop the war and judge Antichrist, he's also going to judge the nations of the world. And he uses an illustration of sheep and goats. The sheep represent the righteous saved, while the goats represent the lost. The distinction between the two is made by how they treated the needy. And I find this very interesting. How did you treat people? How you treated them is going to have revealed whether or not you were saved. Jesus shows our works as being those things that authenticate or not our salvation. When he, Jesus, finally arrives, blazing in beauty, and all his angels with him, the Son of Man is going to take his place on his glorious throne. Look at Matthew 25, 32. We'll read it together. Then all the nations will be arranged before him. This is Jesus talking. And he, being me, will sort the people out, much as a shepherd sorts out sheep and goats, putting the sheep to his right and goats to his left. I got to say it. So Jesus is a right winger. He's not a leftist. Everything positive happens to the right. I can't resist. I'm sorry. Because the sheep are to his right and the goats are to his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, enter. You're in here. Enter, you who are blessed by my Father. Take what's coming to you in this kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation. And they're all going to say, I was hungry and you fed me. Well, he says first, I was hungry and you fed me, thirsty and you gave me drink, homeless and you gave me a room, I was shivering and you gave me clothes, I was sick and you stopped to visit, I was in prison and you came to me. Then the sheep on his right are going to say, Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and clothed you? And when did we ever see you sick or in prison and come to you? Then the king will say, I'm telling you the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, That was me. You did it to me. Now, let me clarify right here. Before we look at the fate of the goats on the left, it's worth noting that the saved sheep had not in any way sought their salvation through their good works. This is not Jesus telling us, you're saved by how you treated people. You're saved by how you treated him, how you responded to him, what you did with him. He's simply telling us that their good deeds flowed out of having been genuinely saved. Okay? Guarantee you can't be saved and not end up involved in good works. You can't do it. If you're saved, you're going to be involved in good works. You're going to be blessing people, helping people, ministering to people, reaching out to people, loving people, caring for people, and serving Christ. There's no way out of it. I mean, when Jesus saved me and I got filled with his Spirit, immediately I got involved in good works. Immediately I got plugged in to ministering to others in his name. It's an outflow of having been genuinely saved. And then those identified as goats bore no such evidence. Jesus continues verse 41. He will turn to the goats, the ones on his. Everybody say where?
Left.
And say, now this is the Message Bible. Get out, worthless goats. You're good for nothing but the fires of hell. And why? Because I was hungry, you gave me no meal. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was homeless, and you gave me no bed. I was shivering, and you gave me no clothes. I was sick and in prison, and you never visited. Then those goats are going to say, look what they say to him, Master, and in the King James, Lord. Notice they're saying Lord, but they fall in the category of those who Jesus talked about when he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I tell you to? It was lip service, but it was never genuine conversion. Okay? They're going to say, Master, Lord, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or homeless or shivering, sick or in prison and didn't help you? And he will answer them, I'm telling you the solemn truth. Whenever you fail to do one of these things to someone who is being overlooked or ignored, that was me. You failed to do it to me. The implication being the reason you failed is you didn't know me. So here's Jesus. He has returned to the earth, folks. Get the picture here. And the entire population of earth is before him. Some on the right, some on the left. And it's judgment time. Then those goats will be herded to their eternal doom, Jesus said, but the sheep to their eternal reward. Look at there, eternal doom or eternal reward. Now, folks, that alone ought to tell you, never, never say hell isn't real, because Jesus just talked about it and described it, saying age upon age without end, people will be saved or doomed. That's out of the mouth of Jesus, not me. Jesus said that. Now we're going to get onto a brighter note. The millennium, as Christ returns, the tribulation comes to its terrible close. Several things take place as revealed in chapter 20 of Revelation. And watch this now. A lot's happening in chapter 20. Satan is bound in the abyss. The first resurrection takes place. I'm going to tell you what that means. The millennium is ushered in. It's mentioned six times. Satan is loose for a brief season. I'm going to explain that to you in the next week or two because that's really a mystery. But he's released again after 1,000 years. Then the last and final rebellion occurs. Then Satan is consigned to the lake of fire and the second resurrection and the second death.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. We are so glad to have you here with us today. Before you touch that dial, we would like to take this opportunity to thank you for your unwavering support for Life Talk. Every time God uses the ministry of Life Talk to transform a life by the power of Jesus Christ, it's because somebody like you gave financially and helped make it possible. Life Talk's daily program is listener supported. So if you're interested in supporting this ministry, call us toll free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. And there you can make a donation to empower Life Talk to continue transforming lives with the power of the gospel. Once again, visit us online at lifetalkradio.us or call us toll-free at 877-884-3111 and give your best gift today. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time for part two of this message entitled, Satan's Ultimate Doom. In this series called The End, Revelation Unfolds. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.